Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, the 10th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1089. Luke chapter 10, beginning with the 38th verse, we'll read through the end of the chapter, the 42nd verse. We'll read these verses responsively. And may we please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And let's finish on the 42nd verse together. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And let's pray. Lord, you're good to give us this day. Weather-wise, it's a pretty day, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for the great church here, the First Baptist Church family. It's great. It's a wonderful thing to be together and to enjoy each other and to see something of thee in the lives of those with whom we fellowship. We thank thee for that. And we thank you for good songs and a good spirit here. We thank you especially for our preacher this morning. And we're, of course, looking forward to the preaching, and we pray that you'd bless us in that. We need thee, and we need thy word, and we need a lot of help, and we need it from thee today. And we pray that you'd use our preacher and the preaching and thy word to give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, Holy Father, we come to the book. As we take this little portion of it and examine it for a few minutes, may our hearts be tendered and warmed and our lives be affected for the good. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I have no bombastic message. I have a tender message to chat with you about. I will not be kicking over any microphones this morning, and the PA men will be very proud of me when I get through. Unless I decide I want to kick some over. But when Dr. John Rice passed away, the last time I saw him, the last words that I said while he was on this earth were, I love you. When Dr. Curtis Hudson went to the hospital and it looked like he had not much time left, I got on the airplane, flew to Nashville just for one reason, to go see Dr. Hudson. Spent 15, 20 minutes with him and flew right straight back. And the last words I said to him were, I love you. The last words I said to him on the face of this earth were, Dr. Hudson, I love you. My good friend Bob Keyes, with whom I played ball, with whom I threw paper routes, with whom I went to school, and who was my assistant pastor for a number of years, was pastoring a church in Texas, and I was preaching down there, and Bob was near death. The last words I said to Bob were, I love you, and then I kissed him on the cheek, and the last words he said to me was, yet. And the last words that I said to my mother was, in fact, 11 years ago at this very moment, I was standing behind this pulpit preaching my mother's funeral service. The last words I said to her on the telephone from O'Hara Field, Mother, I love you. Those are the three magic words. Said too seldom, spoken to not enough people, and when spoken, often spoken too lightly. I perhaps am a touch tad tender these days. Tomorrow I will begin my 70th year of life. Last month, August 30th, I began my 37th year as pastor of this church. Next month, on October 24th, Mrs. Hiles and I will complete 50 years as husband and wife, and I will finish 50 years as a licensed preacher. And so I perhaps am a tad more tender than usual. Take advantage of it. I don't get tender very often, so take advantage of it. But I want you this morning to listen carefully. You've heard me tell about this. I'd never seen it before. Others had. I was at O'Hare Field. Let me get this mic here. Don't think I'm going to get rowdy. I just want to move around a little bit. I was at O'Hare Field years ago, a number of years ago. I looked up and I saw it. I'd never seen it before. Others had. I had not seen it before. It was a big poster. It must have been about 3 feet tall and a couple of feet wide. Had a little boy and a little girl on the poster. And the little boy said to the little girl, as if in the cloud type up here, said, "Tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot." I love that. "Tell me if you love me or not. You loved me once, but I forgot." Jesus was in the home where he loved to visit. The home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, two sisters and a brother. Martha was preparing the meal. We don't give Martha enough credit. If Martha hadn't been preparing the meal, Jesus wouldn't have given a flip whether Mary was worshiping or not. I mean, I can worship better on a full stomach than I can an empty stomach. But Martha was in the kitchen cooking. I studied very carefully this passage to find out what it was she was cooking. Because to me, that's the important thing. Jesus said when Mary was at his feet, listening to his words and worshiping, he said, "Martha had chosen." He said, "Martha, don't be upset with Mary because she's not helping in the kitchen. She's chosen the needful thing." Now, I'm not as good a Christian as Jesus was. I think Martha chose the needful thing myself. But I've been doing a little study in the original language. I've got to move this thing. I've got a nutrageous candy bar right here under my door. I can't preach you that thing right there, looking at it all the time. In the Greek, the Bible says that Martha was cooking. She was cooking turkey and dressing and gravy. She had all this eye of the stove over here, some sweet potatoes. Some macaroni and cheese sat on the table. Hot poppy seed rolls and butter beside that. I tell you, I just don't agree with Jesus, that's all. I mean, butterscotch pie was warm, as we used to do it as a kid, sitting out on the windowsill after get a little cool. Caesar salad was prepared, ice cream, filet mignon with mushrooms and gravy, fried okra, turnip greens and fried shrimp, cornbread and butter, noodles and gravy, pork roast, pie a la mode, eggplant a la mode, or Parmesan, chocolate sundae, egg roll, all these things. Now, I'm a chancellor of a college. I know the original language. Egg roll, sweet and sour pork, banana split, cheese quarter pounder, Arby's roast beef, Big Mac, Whopper, French fries, onion rings. I'm going to preach the truth whether you like it or not. Brownies with nuts in them. Enchiladas and tamales. Kentucky fried chicken. Chocolate yogurt, hot dogs. Bacon, eggs, and thickened gravy, and some pizza. All this Martha was cooking. I'm putting this next to my heart here, all that list of stuff. But Martha came in and said to Jesus, Jesus, tell Mary to come in here and help me. All this stuff is cooking. I'm setting the table. And Jesus said, one thing is necessary. I'm speaking this morning on the subject, God's favorite dish. God's favorite dish. He said, one thing is necessary. What he was saying was, there's one thing that I've got to have. I don't have to have Kentucky Fried Chicken. Again, I say he and I don't have this. I'm not quite there yet. I don't have to have all the food that you're preparing. But he said, there's one dish that's needful. There's one thing I've got to have. And Mary has chosen the good part. I like this line. Which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, the day is going to come. We won't be eating all this food. And in a few hours, a few minutes, the dirty dishes will be taken away and the food will be gone. But Mary has chosen the good part, the needful part, which shall never be taken away from her. Now, Martha, you can't do what you're doing in heaven, but Mary can do what she's doing in heaven. It'll never be taken away from her. And so, Jesus said, I love the turkey and dressing. I love the sweet potatoes. I love macaroni and cheese, hot poppy seed rolls and butter, butterscotch pie, Caesar salad, ice cream, filet mignon, mushroom and gravy. I love all of that. But he said, I only have to have one dish. And that little dish is to hear you say, I love you. The magic words. The magic words. He's not condemning Martha. He's not saying, Martha, you shouldn't be doing that. No, he's saying, Martha, you're doing some things that are helpful to me. And certainly, Jesus loved good food. But he said, one dish I have to have, and that is I have to hear my people say, I love you. After a while, the turkey will be gone. But you can love me after supper. You can say, I love you in eternity. And in heaven, you can say that you love me. So Jesus comes to me this morning, and he says to me, son, preaching's okay. I'm for your preaching. You're teaching the Bible's okay. I'm for your teaching the Bible. You're administrating a church is okay. I'm for that. It must be done just like we must eat. You're overseeing Howells Anderson College and Hammond Baptist High School and Junior High and Grade School and City Baptist. All that's fine. And you're writing books is fine. And the counseling sessions that you have, all that's fine. And Jesus said, that's okay. But he said, there's just one thing I have to have from you. I have to hear the magic words. I love you. This morning I'm trying to talk you into telling, oh yes, I love you. Tell him. He says to me, he says, my son, all these things you do, and God knows, multiply. You would not even begin to understand all the things that I've got to do in a week's time. And Jesus said, that's fine. I want you to pastor the church. That's good. Like he said to Martha, I want you to cook the meal. That's good. But he said, there's only one thing I have to have. I have to have the magic words. I love you. Ladies, may I tell you what your husband needs more than anything else? You're cumbered about with much serving. He needs you to wash his clothes. He needs you to iron. He needs you to keep a clean house. And by the way, we desperately in America need to get the women back home. Desperately. Desperately. Brother, when the home is gone, the nation is gone. And by the way, when the home is gone, the church is gone too. And women, that's wonderful. Your husband needs you to keep a clean house. And if you don't, you're not right with God. And your husband needs you to wash the dishes and needs you to cook good meals. And that's wonderful. But there's one thing he needs from you more than all the other things put together. Your husband needs you to say, I love you. Well, he knows it. Tell him. Tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot. Parents, do you know what your children need more than anything else in the world? For you to drive them all the time. For you to be their chauffeur all the time. To take them to Lupina's parties. That's good. They need you to pay their tuition in school, and they need you to prepare their meals, and they need you to provide a house, and they need you to buy their clothing. But what the young people of First Baptist Church need more than all the things put together, those three magic words, I love you. Preachers come to pastor school. We started pastor school for one reason, well, several reasons, but one main reason, to teach pastors how to build great churches. And then later on, we got burdened for America, and we had pastor school every year to try to save America. And then we wanted to know how to go soul winning and start the bus ministry and all of that. And we started pastor school for that.
But around the country, as I go to preach, a pastor stands up to introduce me and says, Dr. Howell's changed my life. He changed my life. I went to pastor school, and they never do say, he calls me to change America or calls me to build a great church. They always say, the thing I got at pastor school was Brother Howell's taught me how to love my people. What they always say. You know, you need Bible studies from me, and you need sermons from me, and you need me to keep your schools open and keep the church going and keep the bills paid. And as I told you the other day, brother, praise God, next May I'm going to have a shouting spell and a fit and a Presbyterian Pentecostal Holy Ghost revival when we pay off the last payment of all the debts we owe. And you need me to do that. But you know what you need more than anything else from me? You need me to tell you those three magic words. I love you. And that's what I need from you. I need your prayers. I need your encouragement. When that little child under the door this morning put her little mouth down the door and said, I love you, preacher. That's what I need. The teenagers or the college girls saying, we love you, preacher. Oh, yes, we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. But to hypocrites, they'll sing it to somebody else next time. preacher, we love you. That's what I need. And I don't care who you are. Every single human being, Jesus said, one thing is needful. I need your pecan pie, and I need your roast beef, and I need your gravy, and I need your hot rolls, and I need the butter. But he said, the favorite dish I have are those three magic words. I love you. Tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot. Fellas, do you know what your wife needs more than anything else? She needs you to provide for her. She needs you to have a place for her to live. She needs you to buy furniture. She needs you to help her rear the children. She needs you to take out the garbage. But the thing she needs more than any other single thing, those three magic words, you've lost weight. Just want to see if you're still home, that's all. Right, ladies? Those three magic words. I love you. I love you. If the Son of God, if the Son of God Himself, God incarnate, sat there at that table that day, or in that room that day, and Martha back here cooking and preparing and setting the table and getting ready for a big feast, and she comes in and said, Jesus, why don't you tell Mary to come and help me? I'm keep doing all this by myself. And Jesus said, Martha, you're doing well. I'm hungry and I want to eat. But he said, there's one dish I've got to have. There's one vitamin I've got to have. There's one nourishment I've got to have. I've got to hear those three magic words. I love you. Jesus comes to you today. And he says, your singing in the choir is important. He said, that's fine. We ought to do it. We need the choir. We could use a little help in this section over here. But we need the choir. That's important. Jesus comes to you and says today, we need somebody at Howells Henderson College to take care of the academics and all the things you do. And we need somebody, Hammond Baptist High School, to be the principal. And we need somebody to take care of the Seder ministry. We need somebody to help bury the dead. We need somebody to visit the sick. Somebody to lead the choir. Somebody to take care of the rescue mission. Somebody to take care of the buses. And somebody to take care of the teenage Bible clubs. And somebody to take care of the grade school. And somebody to take care of teaching in the college. But Jesus said, all that's good. I need you to teach a Sunday school class. I need you to teach a Christian school. But ladies and gentlemen, I come today and tell you that more than all those things put together, Jesus needs you just to stop for a while and say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior thou, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, just now. And Jesus said, those are the vitamins I need. That's what I need. He said, Martha, go ahead and cook, but don't criticize Mary. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This world is dying because of a lack, not of love, but expressing love. Some of you ladies today, you say, I'm just not the kind that says it. Well, but look, that's what the guy needs. And some of you men, macho men, Boy, you think that's beneath you to get down and maybe a tear run down your cheek and you say to your wife, I love you. No, sir, that's not a sign of being a macho man. That's a sign of not being a man. The Son of God, the man of man's, the man, the God man, looked at a little lady there in the kitchen and said, go ahead and cook, but let Mary alone. I need one thing more than I need everything else. Those three magic words. I love you. Your teaching in the grade school is fine. Being a godly deacon is fine. Being in the foster club is fine. Fisherman's club is fine. Working with the deaf is fine. Working with the blind, that's good. Working with the Orientals, that's good. Working in the jail ministry, that's wonderful. Spanish ministry, educable soul. But one thing Jesus said, I have to have. Ask a question. How long has it been since you told him you loved him? Now don't misunderstand me. I believe in praising God in church, and you know that. But saying praise God in church is still not exactly what he's talking about. Talking about. I love you. I love you. That's needful. Mothers and dads this morning, break down the barriers. Please listen to me. Break down the barriers. I know it's tough having kids. Good night. You prayed a while ago, Brother Bob. Thank you for these three children and the joys they'll bring. I didn't know children brought joys. When's it going to start? But listen, listen, break down the barriers. And say to your children those three magic words, I love you. And children, it may be that dad doesn't know how to accept it. It may be that dad doesn't clearly understand it. And maybe he won't ask macho and so forth. There is not a living human being, not a living human being that doesn't love to hear those words, I love you. Wives, break down the barriers today. Husbands, break down the barriers today. Last night, Brother Owens is not what you'd call a Gucci goer. He's just a fine man. He walked out of my office. He was the last, as he walked out, he turned and very gently said quickly, I love you, preacher. And if you need anything, let me know. I didn't need anything now. But I needed what he just said. A note under my door from Dr. Jorgensen this morning, thanking me for a thing or two, ended with, I love you. After a while, I'll walk out that door right there, and a fine deacon will be out there, as he is after every service. He'll shake my hand and say, I love you. His little girl will be there, and she'll say, I love you. His little boy will be there, and he'll say the same thing. I love you, Brother Hunt. I love you, Brother Hunt. I love you, Brother Hunt. I need that. And I don't care who you are, you need it. And I don't care who you are, they need it. And Jesus said, I want the turnip greens, and I want the veal cutlets, and I want the chicken fried steak, and I want the gravy, but he said, there's one thing I've got to have. Ladies and gentlemen, this country's going to hell today because we've lost our emotion in expressing our love to each other. Tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot. I like what he said. He said, it'll not be taken away. After a while, this food will be cleared off the table. After a while, the dishes will all be washed. After a while, we'll be filled with food. But he said, what Mary is doing, it'll never be taken away. Listen, we sang a while ago in the sweet by and by, and it's very precious to me. Because my mother and I sang that song together 11 years ago, last the 19th. She died the 20th and prepared the 24th. The sweet by and by. But you know in the sweet by and by, we won't ever go soul winning. In the sweet by and by, nobody will have a bus route. In the sweet by and by, nobody will teach Sunday school. In the sweet by and by, you know, truck driver ministry, there won't be any truck drivers up there. They've scared enough people to get saved. But I mean, there won't be any truck driver ministry. There won't be any oriental ministry. I won't have any counseling to do. All that's gone. There won't be anybody to lift out of sin. And marriages to men and broken hearts to men. There won't be that. That'll pass away. I won't have that with me always. But praise God, I can always look in the face of Jesus and say, I love you. I know I say it 50 times a day. As I sit at the airport, I'll say, I love you. I love you. I was here in my motel room, and I'll say, I love you. I love you. I'll sit up here on the platform and say, I love you. I love you. That's the vitamin he has to have. That's the nourishment he has to have. Oh, if I could reach out and grab some of you people this morning who are a little bit proud of the fact that you're a little bit aloof. Ladies and gentlemen, break down the barriers. Some of you ladies, a little bit awkward. They always say the same thing. I grew up in a home, we didn't express our love. Well, good. Now you can give your children the same tragedy. Break it down. You've got to be a little bit awkward about it. Walk up to your husband and say, I love you. And fellas, be a little... Break down that masculine, macho veneer. I don't care. Listen. These truck drivers over here. Big, strong men. All but one of them. She's a little, tiny, dainty lady. But these big men over here, you guys not kidding me. You love to hear I love you just like anybody else does. You're not kidding me. Behind that macho, you know, big truck driver kind of stuff. You're not kidding me. There's a little boopsy whoopsy and era heart over there. Break down the barrier. Fellas, break it down and tell him I love you. Wives, break it down and tell him, break it down the barrier and tell him I love you. Children, break down the barrier. Walk up to mom and dad and say I love you. I'm saying I don't care who you are, more than you need the food you'll have for lunch, more than you need the clothes you have on your back, more than you need the house you live in. One thing is needful. Hey, you're made in the image of Almighty God. If the Son of God needed those three magic words, you need those three magic words. Every time I check into a hotel room, go to a new place to preach, there's a letter waiting for me from Ray Young. He'll thank me for something that I've done for him or mean to him. He'll always close that letter with those three magic words. I love you. Little note under my door this morning. I-L-U-V-Y-U. I love you. Tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot. I think about that couple sitting in my office several years ago, and a middle-aged couple, about 68, 69 years of age. And she said, he doesn't love me anymore. And she said, he said, I do too. What a way to put it. I felt like I ought to walk out of the room that tender hour. I do too. What a way to put it. Man alive, what feeling. She said, he doesn't love me anymore. He said, I love you 10 times as much as I ever did. That ain't the way you said it when you were swinging under the moon, though. He said, I love you 10 times as much as I ever did. I just love you with a different kind of a love. And she jumped up and she said, but I want both. And she deserves both. He deserves for that man to break down his big macho veneer and look her in the eye and say, woman, I love you. You know why I get by with preaching like I do? You know why I can skin your hide and rip your face off? You know why I can do it? Because every stinking person in here knows the smell. Good. You know I love you. You know this old man loves you with all of his heart. That's one reason why I get by with what I get by with. You take my preacher boys, they leave you out of here and go preach these same sermons like that I preach, same ones, word for word. I was a paratrooper in World War II. Miss Bethel put me on her knee and sang word for word. And they get voted out of the churches. You know how they get voted out? The first thing you do is you baptize yourself in love. And the second thing you do is you tell them that you love them. And then people that are baptized in love know that you're trying to help them. He said, this cannot be taken away. The one thing that your loved one needs, just like your Savior needs, is I love you. This is my... Tomorrow's the 37th birthday that I will have endured here. Happy birthday. Ain't no happy birthday when you're 1 year from 70. No way. But you will do kind things for me. I love every brownie that you make. Every note of appreciation that you write. But the thing that does more for me than anything in all the world is just to pick up a little card and say, dear preacher, we love you. We love you. A couple in the alley every Sunday, we love you, preacher. A note from an assistant pastor. A note under my door. A deacon outside the door. A little child. You know what I think? Every once in a while, and this illustrates it beautifully. Every once in a while, we have a lot of weddings around here. In fact, everybody here is getting married or divorced, one or the other. We have a lot of weddings around here. And there's something I never can understand. The young lady says, I'm going to take off a semester so I can go home and prepare for the wedding. What you better do, honey, is stay with that guy and prepare for the marriage. The wedding ceremony will be over in 45 minutes. The marriage, if you obey God and are not a perjury, guilty of perjury, will last forever. What you better do is make that fella more important than those flowers, and that fella more important than that wedding gown, and that fella more important than those attendants, and the fella more important than though that music in God's name. Hey, you get married to somebody you love. We're not planning for a pastor school. We're not planning for a pageant. We're planning for a marriage. Very idea. I don't even want to marry you. I'll be gone 3 months preparing for the wedding. I don't want to marry you. What you ought to be doing is you ought to be getting to know him. One thing is needful. Here's the Savior sitting in the living room. And Mary is at his feet doing two things. She's worshiping him and listening to his words. Listening to his words. I've got his words right there. How much you've been listening today? Martha's in the kitchen. The odor of turkey and dressing is coming in the kitchen. The odor of pizza. Spaghetti and meatballs. Chicken parmesan. Sweet and sour pork. All that's coming from the kitchen. These were Chinese Jews. And Martha comes rushing in. Jesus. Look at Mary. I'm in there in the kitchen in a hot stove, slaving in a hot stove. Tell Mary to come in here and help me. And Jesus said, Martha, that's very fine. But he said, my favorite dish is I love you. I think about that big old athletic football player back on our high school little football team. Came to office for a few minutes. And I said, what can I do for you, son? He stood there at the door and he said, I just want to tell you something. I said, what is it? I just want to tell you something. I said, what? Well, I just want to tell you something. Well, I said, tell me. Well, he said, I just want to tell you. And never mind. I said, son, if you want to tell me something, say it. I said, never mind. I just want to tell you something. Big old guy could probably press 300 pounds. I said, what is it? He looked at me as a little child, quoting Mary had a little lamb for the first time. He said, I love you. That's what I needed.
In fact, I had a sneaking suspicion that's what he's going to say. That's why I kept saying, come on, son. Come on. Why don't you try loving?
Oh, I love.
Why don't you try telling it?
Jesus isn't saying, I think Martha loved him as much as Mary did. Jesus isn't saying, I want somebody, Mary loves me and you don't. He's saying, Mary tells me and you don't.
Tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot. I'm asking you right now in the closing moment of this message, be as good to God as you are to me. A couple came to my office the other day. They said, we just came by Brother House to tell you we love you. They said, we're in Brother Owen's Sunday school class. We just came by. I know why they came by. Brother Owen's taught them to. People come by oftentimes and say, Brother Eddie's Sunday school class, or Brother Moffitt's Sunday school class, Brother Colston, all these men, they teach there, the folks that follow them, they have contact with folks I don't. I can't see you folks like they do. They know you on a personal basis. I can't do that. But they say to their people, the preacher loves you. And they say, go tell him. And sometimes they'll stand in line for 45 minutes, a family. And they'll come in and I'll say, what can I do for you? We just want to say we love you. They walk out the door. And that's what I want to do. I want to do the same thing for Jesus today these men do for me. I want you to treat him like you treat me. He needs you to love him. Just be as good to Jesus as you are to me. He needs it. He needs it. I love to find people's needs. When I find their needs, I love to try to supply them. I love to try to find Jesus' needs. This morning, why don't you get alone? And I mean do it regularly and do it by schedule. And just look up to heaven and say, dear God, I love you. I love you. Write it in a little card like I do and put it in your pocket. I look at my card. Here's one that says, Christian Brotherhood something. Guy's supposed to come by and see me today. And here's one. All these little notes I got in my pocket here. Here's one that says, Fire Roy Moffitt. And all these little notes I've got. But I keep it in my pocket all the time. A little note. Tell God I love him. And many times a day, I love you. I love you. I love you. And Jesus said, that's what I need. And that's what you can always do. Martha, you can't always cook. We won't be cooking like that in heaven. You can't always have the bus routes. There won't be bus routes. There won't be lost souls. There won't be broken hearts, broken homes, broken lives, broken dreams, broken futures, and broken air castles. Won't be any of that. Won't be any deaf or blind people there. Their eyes will be open. Their ears unstopped. Won't be any crippled people there. Not be any lame people. Their legs can jump. But Jesus said, there's one thing you'll always be able to do. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Sing it, choir. My Jesus, I love thee. Ready? My Jesus. You can always do that. You can do that 10,000 years from now. You can't run your bus route 10,000 years from now, but you can do that 10,000 years from now. This is a thing you have always. You can't help somebody that's sick and visit the sick, Brother Johnny, or conduct the funerals, Brother Depper. You can't do that always. But you can always say, Jesus, I love you. Always have it. Never leaves you. This morning I ask you, tell him you love him. Treat him like you treat me. He says that's what he needs the most. The food, all of it, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that part. Jesus looks this morning and says to you, tell me if you love me or not. You told me once. But I forgot. Our Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because we don't love you like we should, but I'm more sorry right now because those that do don't tell you like they should. There's the Savior, just a few hours from Calvary, just a few hours from being betrayed by one of the 12.
just a few hours from finding the 12 asleep, just a few hours from being beaten, nailed to the cross. He goes to that little haven where he likes to go. He goes to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. Oh, yes, he likes Martha's cooking. But the thing he likes the most is Mary worshiping. May our people this morning do that which is most needful and serve to Jesus his favorite dish. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. If I could talk to you this morning in the loving hymn, but more.